I think that last line there in this song really speaks volumes. And it says, day and night, night and day, the incense arise. We're saying day and night, let the Lord be praised in our life. Amen. And that's the key right there. Is he worthy of it all? If he is, man, he's worthy of our voices, you know. And for some of us, David, I'm sitting here feeling maybe pretty miserable and stuff today, you know. And it's not bad to feel miserable, because if you're feeling miserable, sometimes it's because we're not lining up the Word of God, amen. And it kind of gets your attention. Have you ever, gentlemen, ever went home and your wife was kind of short with you? How you doing, honey? Okay. How's your day? All right. Not saying my wife ever do that to me, you know. Then you find out you didn't take the trash out or something needed to be done, and it's kind of short there. So you got recognize you had an issue, apologize for it, and go on. And folks, the number one thing in our lives, the life of God, is it starts with true repentance. Think of that, true repentance in our life. Recognizing the sin and turning away from it. That's the key. That's where we're going to start. That's where everything becomes new again. Lord, forgive me. I'm turning away from that thing. I don't want it no more. Christ, come into my life. I surrender to you. Wow. And that's where it starts. A complete commitment to him. And we're on Sunday morning. The presence of God is so thick here as we come corporately. And as we step out back out into the world, man, the Holy Spirit is designed to go with us. And he doesn't just stay here. He's designed to take us tomorrow, the next day, the next day. And that same worthy, that same praise, that same presence is there with us to give us strength and encouragement and go through these valleys that we go through. Amen? I mean, he's there. And sometimes things, we don't quite understand some things. Why things happen the way they do. I just know that we live in a fallen world. And we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We're born again. You have a new spirit living within you. Amen. Baptized, you have to receive the Holy Spirit to come over you. And everything else, man, it's just serving the Lord and praising him. Some of us, you know, some of you guys today might have drove a new vehicle in here today. Some of us might have wired up our muffler to get down here today, okay? But the thing of it is, your vehicle, my vehicle, brought us to this point here. It brought us to the house of the Lord. And someday the body that we're riding and driving, however you want to put it that way, is going to take us to the presence of God.
Amen.
And that was, until then, man, we were here to serve him, right? That's the number one thing. If I know I'm pleasing the Lord and I'm serving him, man, I mean, anything else in life, yeah, it might hurt my feelings, but hey, anything will take away my joy. Amen. Just doing what he called me to do. So that's why we gather here. We gather to worship him, but to encourage one another to hear that word, you know. If you got a commitment to the Lord, man, he's there to be with you. Sometimes Satan will attack you in order to get you to shut up. Yeah, it'll do that sometimes. How much can you take before you keep your mouth shut about Jesus? You know? So some of you guys are going to think, man, I'm really going to do some stuff right now. He just keeps attacking me. Well, he wouldn't be attacking you if he wasn't getting closer to the Lord. Okay? And sometimes you can be under attack, and not because the devil is attacking you, because you're doing it to yourself. Amen? Yeah, we got to recognize that. But, yeah, he's... In football, I was never the greatest football player in the world. I had to, in fact, I was so bad I didn't even sit on the bench. They put me in the bleachers. But one thing Coach Jones did teach me, he said, now on the first play, I played defensive end and defensive tackle. He said, on the first play, he taught me to walk up to the line of scrimmage. Scrimmage, ladies, is where two teams come together. Okay. Anyway, you walk up like this. Okay. That way that opponent will see you. That, man, that guy, he's injured. He's going to be a cream puff. Now you get in your stance. I can't get down anymore. But and when you come off that line of scrimmage, you hit him with everything you got, and you knock him back on his tail end. And he won't mess with you anymore. Give him everything you got. Be scared of you, okay? How much could he take? I don't know. I had many times I hit him everything I had, and I got knocked backwards, okay? I was out of the game. Well, the same way, Satan would say, how much can he come against you to shut you down? You know, maybe you're only coming to church today and you're out of gas. I'll go next week. Okay, well, you got to eat. Okay. But do you have feet? You have a cell phone? Yeah. How much do they keep you? Because he want to keep you out of here because he knows how much power there is when we come together. Okay? And how powerful the Word of God is. You know, some of us, we can get up, and again, there's nothing wrong but staying home when you're sick. Amen? But we get up in the morning, oh my, I'm not going to church today, you know. But on Monday, that's just a little sneezy, I'm going to go golfing today, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just trying to, again, nothing wrong with staying home when you're sneezing. Please, don't take this the wrong way. But let's see, how much can this person take to knock him out of action, you know? And if you look at the apostles, I mean, look how they went through. And Satan tried and tried to knock them down, did he not? I mean, persecuted, watch your brother in the Lord get beheaded and stuff, but continue to have that strength to go on. And why? Because they were no longer in their strength, their own strength. They had the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit with them in order to do what God's called us. And today, this time we're living in, folks, we haven't been called to do anything different. Amen? We still have that same calling in our life to do that. And we are so blessed, each one of us, to live here at this time. I truly believe that we will see the coming of the Lord. Not quick. Before you get that piece of candy out of your purse there, Susan, we'll be up in heaven, you know. Celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to embarrass you. She's getting a pen out to take notes and stuff. But that's how quick it is, you know. And the scripture says, yeah, will he find faith when he returns? And will he find his people still being busy? For him. Amen? Amen. Give me 1 second here. I'll turn the light on here. Anybody got candy back here anywhere? Yeah. Cough drop? I might need that a little bit. I'm glad you said that. Last week we were gone. We was down in Virginia. Yeah, thank you. You know where I was at, Charlie. Okay, and we had a great time down there and stuff. But we weren't here. But Ryan stepped into the pulpit for us today, and he's like, you know, I don't take that. He's anointed by God. That's his calling also. And same, you know, each one of us has that same anointing. Do you understand that? To share the gospel? Okay. Some is anointed up here behind the pulpit, but at your workforce, is that right? Workplace. It can be the one, I guess, you know. Yeah. What's that? It's a force. Amen. Amen. But myself, anyone be in this pulpit, I do not take it lightly. Like, I mean, I want to go down to Virginia next week. Ryan's been there. I'll find somebody. Hey, buddy, come in there. We come to the pulpit next Sunday for me? I would never do that. Because this is a very powerful place to stand here and represent God. Okay? To bring forth His message and stuff. I would never do that. But when I would leave to go, I would never leave my son without the things he needs. Come here a second, Ryan. Ministry is very important to me here, okay? My priority is God, family, ministry. Amen? I would not put this in the hands of anybody that God didn't tell me to do. But when I would go, I said, son, I'll be gone this week. Here you go. Everything you need is right there. I'll be back next week. Now, I just entrusted him Follow me on this, okay? No, not going to pass the wallet around, okay? I got my pension check last week. I got a couple bucks left yet. You hear that, idiot girl? No. Okay. Now, I'll put it this way. Okay, Ryan, I want you to come over next Sunday, and I want you to take care of the manager for me, okay? If I would leave like this, and Ryan comes in, man, okay, I got to buy food. I need lights on here. Oh, man, I need a pair of shoes in order to stand behind the pulpit. I mean, can you imagine to leave the ministry in his hands, but not leave with him the materials he needs to run the ministry? I mean, truly. So I say, Ryan, there you go, buddy. Everything you need is right there. Of course, I would have a Bible. I don't have a Bible with me. Oh, there it is. But there's everything you need for the ministry. I'd leave, okay? And then while I'm gone, I come back. And I would go, son, well, it's pretty tough, Dad. I said, what do you mean? Oh, my lands. The first day he was gone, my shoes had a hole in them. So I had to go through the whole week with holes in my shoes. Oh, the thing was bad enough. My socks wore out. And about midweek, Dad, I got so hungry. I was really hungry. I wanted something to eat. But, man, I had nothing to eat. And then driving in, my car broke down. I had to push it 12 miles, ran out of gas. It just... Now, I wonder how long it would take him to realize, oh, wait a second. Dad left me in charge of his ministry. Now, it's God's ministry, okay? Don't get me wrong. Okay, but... Okay. And he gave me this. It's everything I need right there. How long would it take him before he finally opened that up? Exactly, yeah. Mothballs. How long? I mean, how many miles we had to walk with holes in his shoes? Finally down on, wait a second. Man, Dad had this in the ministry. He needed it. So he opens up the wallet. I want to put the Bible down here. Cause he opens it up, and I'm telling you what. So he's looking in there, there's a mess. I mean, it's just lucky he had pension day, yeah. We can't find nothing in there. I mean, Dad said everything I needed right here. Oh, wait a second. Let me call Dad. Hey, Dad, I'm broke down on the highway. Okay, son, inside the wallet, open it up, and you'll find somewhere in there, on the fourth sleeve, the right side probably, you're going to find a AAA card. Pull it out, call Princey, or call Ford's. Cousin of mine in Dresden, Ohio, great AAA people. Put a plug in there. And so anyway, there's a AAA card. Could be anyway.
We just don't want you to become self-complacent.
Oh, I won't. Okay. But you can find the AAA card, okay? Because how could I tell him where it was at? Because I'm the one that put it there. You follow me? And later on, oh man, my shoes. I need shoes, Dad. Oh, hey, listen, son. Inside the wallet is already a prepaid Visa card. They gifted to me. Get your pair of shoes. Later on, oh, I'm hungry, Dad. Hey, listen. There's a Bob Evans gift card I got there also, okay? Hey, Dad, I need gas. See, anything that he needed, I already told him everything he needs right here. Even got a discard for Bueller's, okay? Everything is there already. All he has to do is open it up and then rely upon me to show him where it's at. And folks, that's what God has done to us. We have to understand that when Jesus, when he left this world, he left us with the Word of God. Amen? And God said, here, there's everything you need. Everything you need. Everything I just told you right here that he could have is already in there. You know that? Oh, there's food in there, Pastor? Yes, there is. I think it's Luke 6, he says, he tells all about the birds and the birds eating dinner, how beautiful the flowers are, the hillside. But his key number one to each one of us here, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, try it again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things that you need be given to you. Seek ye first. Yes, otherwise we put God first. And we find that in the scriptures. Amazing. Looking for a spouse? She ain't looking, is she? Okay. God will tell you. Light up, huh? You know? If you're looking for a spouse, but you're looking at the local bars for it, well, again, you can find a Christian in a bar. You ever been down and depressed? Okay, and maybe fall back a little bit? Okay. But I don't recommend to go. Look. What I'm trying to say is this, I guess. If you want to go, yeah, thank you. If you want to eat catfish, you don't go to my brother-in-law's pond. You get bluegill. Where do you go? Wolf Creek. Amen? So what we have to do, if you want a relationship and you're claiming to be follower of Jesus, okay, you have no business looking for a relationship outside of the body of Christ. Pastor, you can't tell me that. No, I'm telling you what God says. You do what you want to. I'm not here to be a dictator. Amen? I'm just trying to show you this maybe. And the old song goes, looking for love in all the wrong places, you know? Amen. I forget who sang that. It wasn't me. Okay? But again, wow, that's true. Or a job. Maybe you're working somewhere right now. You have to do things illegal in order to get a paycheck. Should you be doing that? Yeah, get out. Well, I can't just quit my job. Well, your chances are you quit your job or spend the next 3 years in prison. I'm going to quit my job. I'm again relying on God. Amen. He says don't be unequally yoked. So we should always line up with people of like faith if we can. Okay? You might have to work for an employer that isn't a Christian, but he treats you well. Amen. He doesn't object to you. You can work for him, okay? But again, it goes back to everything that we need is here. And number one thing, it starts with, what we got to do? We got to open it up. Wow. And then it's like, okay, I open it up. But where's this thing about the woman? And the man hat, okay? Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. Knowing. That we had need for his word, Jesus promises, and I'll share this in a second, that he will send us a counselor, a comforter. He'll send us somebody to help us recall everything that he taught us. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us to be our comforter, to be our strength, okay? And to help us recall everything that he said. So, right here, how can I recall what the Word of God says? Anybody? How can the Holy Spirit recall to me what it says? Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. How can the librarian pull a book off the shelf? Someone's got to put the book there. Okay? How can the Holy Spirit recall what the Scriptures say? We read them. Amen? So that's what the point is trying to get at. Is that when you read these and study the Word of God, it comes into what we call our spirit. And that Holy Spirit, which is available to us, will help us recall. When we say that it's the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God and our testimony, that's how we defeat things. Right away, if you're following Christ, the minute you start to do something, the Holy Spirit's going to catch you right now. He's going to affirm what you're doing, or he's going to say, don't do that. And you have to decide whether you want to do what he says to do or not. Amen? No one can force you to do it. But if we're going to follow Jesus, it's obedient. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Woo-wee! What happens is, yeah, I know I shouldn't do this tonight, but you know, if you're saying that, you're not following Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to you to to give you strength and give you correction for those who want to follow. But if we don't want to follow, you'll be the most miserable people in the world. Back and forth, back and forth. You ever go on a diet? Next day you feel pretty good. You get up in the morning and you hear your belly growl. Wow, awesome. But then the next day you get up, you hear a growl again. Boy, you're feeling pretty good because now you're a little bit lighter. You know what I'm saying? But the third day, you eat something. Oh, man. I'm going to be on this diet. I'm going to lose this weight. And the next day you eat again, that stuff you shouldn't be eating. No one's going to force you. I don't think no one's going to come to the door and grab that Twinkie out of your hand, are they? And no. It's how bad do we want it? You ever try to quit something in your life? And you just can't do it? You try it time and time again. You feel like, this is it, I'm done. And boy, within a week, you're back to it again. Man, how to do that again? You have a desire to do it. But when that desire overcomes anything else in your life, that desire will become a way of life for you. Amen? And when He becomes the center of our life, our desire is to honor Him and please Him and nothing else but Jesus and our life, and everything's going to line up with the Word of God. When that takes place, man, we can do anything, okay? I mean, He becomes the center of our life. But if we keep going back and forth, we're going to be miserable because, well, number one, Jesus says, you know, he's a jealous God. You never have any other gods before me. And so when we put other things before God, we're making things into a god. Now, there's time we fall backwards, amen? We slip and fall. Anybody ever slip and fall? I'm talking about spiritually, Carol. Okay? We have. Well, He's there to help us pick back up again, you know? It's the desire to walk with Him. His guidance and everything, yeah. And as we walk with Him, He gives us more and more. The more we seek Him out, the more our lives will please Him and honor Him, because that's our desire. Well, Pastor, you can say we're going to be perfect? Well, you're going to be perfect in Christ and covering with His blood, but you're still going to be occupying a physical body. But like Brother Paul says, don't ever take the freedom we have in Christ as a reason to sin. And, oh, He'll forgive me. And the old saying is, thanks, son. The old saying is, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Ever hear that? Most married guys have. But what He wants us to do is, again, to honor it. I mean, just check your own life today. I mean, where are you at with Jesus? Is He truly the center of our life? Is it? Or is He someone that, you know, you're entertaining right now? Maybe you haven't committed your life to Him. Okay. And again, if you haven't, I mean, at least you're here hearing the Word of God, right? Because when you commit our life to Christ, He says, weigh the cost before you do. To understand that it's the whole transformation of our life. And with that transformation, He gives us power. He gives us strength. Just like those who came before us. He said, man, I won't ask you to do anything that I haven't already done. Jesus said that. How was He able to go to the cross? How was He able to take your sins and my sins to the cross? Through that beating and being ridiculed and persecution. How could He do it? Only because of the Holy Spirit that came upon Him. The same Holy Spirit that's available for us today. You know, sometimes we say, oh man, I got through another day. And yes, we all say it one day at a time. But make sure that the day that we go through, that we don't just go through it, that we go through it. You see what I'm saying? Wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, what do I want to do today? And He might tell you, hey, today, soak your feet for a while. Or today, like we say, like Friday night, you know, write a card or make a phone call. Or study the Word of God, or go here, go there. But to have that desire, and that's why He sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us in John 16:13, He says, or let's go back up to 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Holy Spirit, of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine, and I will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit, he reveals the heart of God to us. Is that what we want? Thank you. Again, is that our desire? That we want to know the heart of God. We want to know, God, what do you want to do in this situation? What do you want me to do? You know? God, hey, I got myself in a pickle. How am I going to get out of it? I'll help you. Yeah, that's it. You know, he's our comfort. He's our helper. He's our strength. Wow. Man. And but remember, they always say that he gave us one mouth but two ears, right? Meaning we have to listen. Listen more to the Word of God than what we speak. So important on that. But I will send you the Comforter. In John 20, verse 19, it says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Christ has risen from the grave. The Bible says, repent, be baptized, receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave comes and overshadows and comes upon your life. The same Spirit, guys. It's not a watered-down Spirit. It's not something diluted, okay? This is the same Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave is available to us. Amen? Think of that. Available to you, that same Spirit, that power and authority. That's who you are. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it lives within you. Do you have that desire to serve the Lord, to follow Him, to be victorious? To be all you can be, put it that way. Where can I, who lives in you? Maybe I just want to get excited. But he trusts that with me. You know, it's just... But he says in John 20:20, he says, and when he has said this, when he said to the disciples, hey, peace be with you. Like, wow, who is that guy? When he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And right then, there was no doubt in the disciples' mind, in the apostles' mind, who Jesus was there? They saw him beat. Oh, man, they hid from him, destroyed, he went on the cross. They were scared to death. I thought he was the Son of God. What is he up there for? They heard all his teachings. But this now, right now, they just got a revelation. He said, look at his hands. Look at my feet. And you are the Christ. And what did he do next? He took his Spirit and he breathed it into them. Receive the Holy Spirit. When they got the point, but they recognized, it wasn't their hearsay. They wasn't going by what Mary said. Hey, I've seen the Christ, he was risen. Okay, because even though when they said that, they could think, well, maybe somebody long haired looked like Jesus. Amen? Amen? Okay, and so they didn't have that thing. Now, Mary knew, right? Mary knew who it was, but the rest of them going by hearsay, and it could be, yeah, it's kind of like, hey, listen, Jesus touched my life. He turned me around, took away my sickness, my disease. He gave me a purpose in life. I'm telling you what, the x-rays doesn't show a thing anymore. I've been healed by the stripes on his back. Amen! Woo! You can't take that away from me. But then what happens? Oh, well. The x-ray is probably wrong to start with. Well, he said he was healed. But you know how them preachers are, they always say that. How quickly something come into your life to start taking away, saying that it was Jesus. Amen? But when it happens to you, when you know you got a touch from God, when you know He changed your life around, when He took away your sins, woo! He come into your life, He filled you with His Spirit, and you know that you're born again, you're a child of God. Man, if no one else believes it or not, who cares? Amen? You know, because of a personal experience. And that's what we're talking about, a personal experience. You don't go on saying that, hey, this guy in the Bible here, he's Jesus because the pastor said he was, okay? Well, it's a good place to start, but you have to get to the point of revelation saying, Jesus, show me you. I want you like never before. I need you. I need that revelation. I've been trying to walk with you, but I'm not committed to you. I need to see you as you are, and Holy Spirit, reveal Him to me. And when He does that, and He comes into your life, and Christ, come. He'll come in your life. He'll get a fire going inside your belly. And I'm telling you what, you'll never be the same again. You don't want nothing to do with the world again. That you know that Christ is the Son of God. He's your Messiah. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your healer, your comforter. He's everything that you need. He comes into your life and you'll never change back. But you got to get to that point of total, total surrender. Take the stuff of this world and get rid of it. If you got to burn some stuff, burn them. You got some albums you got to destroy, CDs, that you put on there when you get down and out, and you sit there and you want to cry because of the songs, get rid of them. Because He wants full control. And folks, I know it might sound like a lot, but I'm telling you what, you'll never regret it. Man, when He comes in and He takes over it all, oh, thank you. God, why did I wait so long? I said all the time, I was 43 years old before I got sparked. Why did I wait so long? That's what He done. And that spirit that God had breathed into Adam back in the garden comes back into us. Think of Christ in us. But then he goes on, he says, and we have said this, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. Oh, I'll send you. Where? Into the world. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus blew the breath of God back into mankind. Romans 10:9-10 says, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And when the apostles first saw Jesus raised from the dead, they believed. They became born again as Jesus breathed the breath of God into them. The breath of life, just as God did. But we have to get to the point. We got to the point, man. When it says you confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord, it means you're saying it because you confess it. Yes, He is Lord. Yes, He is. Take my wife for a second. Yeah. I have a piece of paper that says I'm married to her. I guess I don't. I do have a piece of paper that says I'm married to her. Married 47 years. We're going on 47 years. But it's just a piece of paper if my heart isn't married to her. If she's not the center of my life. It's just a piece of paper. And folks, we can get the same thing in our life today. You might have a piece of paper that says you were baptized at this time or that time, this time. And all it is a piece of paper because your heart wasn't right. Amen. It was time to do it. He's 12 years old, time to get baptized. And it's a change in your heart. And that's one thing I struggled with when I got born again, was being baptized. Because I was sprinkled when I was a kid. But I had to have that revelation that, man, I want to baptize. I will stand in front of folks and say, yes, I confess Jesus as my Savior, my Lord. I was baptized. I got a piece of paper for it, but man, my heart that made the most thing. Again, but it just, God has shown us today, it's our commitment with Him. His commitment to us, His covenant, man, He'll never void it. But it's us. And we just got to get all in. All in. Remember when He'll bring you a peace? He'll bring you a joy? He's a healer. He's a comfort. He's everything. But it's total commitment to Him. Total commitment. And when we confess that He is Lord, and follow Him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Born again, man, the old person's gone. Barry, you got a different address, put it that way, okay? And how many times does your past keeps coming back to you? How many times do other people bring your past to you? Okay, hey, you don't live there anymore. Don't pay any attention to them. Okay? Your past is your testimony. Yep, I used to live there. Done that. But not no more. Jesus, forgive me. Oh, yes, I know. But you know, hey, I don't care what you hear. You're not going to be on the throne. My God's on the throne. And what He's done for me, He'll do the same for you also. Well, I understand that, right? Carol sang the song about the old man is dead, I think the name of it. And it's an awesome thing. But in Luke 24:49, Jesus says, "Now behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Clothed with power. Why would you want to stay in the city until you get power? He already said, "Now listen, as my Father sent me, I'm going to send you." Did He already say that? But why would He say, "Now listen, I want you to hang out until I send you power"? Because He knows if we step out into the world without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get chewed up. Amen? He's saying, as you step in the ground, He just breathed, they're born again. Amen? And for us today, many of us were born again. Okay? But we need that power of the Holy Spirit, and you've been getting beat up a lot. Okay? Well, maybe it's time to tarry for a while. Tarry in His Word. Read His Word, just hang out with Him for a while. Amen? I was in law enforcement, not military, but you veterans and stuff, I don't think you swore in today, and the next day they gave you a bazooka and turned you loose, right? Did they, Joe? Okay, 2 days later. Or give you a weapon at all. Okay, Joe, Ryan, how many more military folks we got here? Fred, yeah, and Fernando. Oh, Fernando gone, okay. And they didn't say, okay, swear in, and okay, go over Bosnia or someplace, and not even give you a weapon. It wouldn't be fair to you, would it, Fred? Joe? Ryan? It wouldn't be fair to the places you go either. And we'll train you first. This is what the guys did before you, and ladies, and we're going to train you to be their replacement, but you're not going to go until you get trained. Are you a soldier then? Yes. Are you being trained? Yes. And folks, the same way what Christ did to the disciples. Now listen, I'm going to send you, but I want you to hang out first. I want you to hang out. Carry, the word was. And I'm going to send you power of the Holy Spirit. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. They were strengthened. Look what they did. And that's what we need to do, the same thing, to seek Him. Seek Him. I need your power. I need your power, Lord, to get through another day. I just need your strength, God. My mind's going to go, boing. One more thing happens. Ever been there? Amen. And that's where we open the Word. God, I don't understand everything. I just know that I believe you're the comforter, you're the strength. You start reading that Word. God, I just need you. You'll come and reside with us. But through all this, folks, remember, He'll show you which way to go, where to walk. He'll come alongside of you and say, okay, I think you need to separate from this area over here. Because it's not good for your life. I know they might be your friends for a long time. But If you want to walk with me and be successful, you have to depart from them. And oh man, it's going to be kind of tough. He never said it's going to be easy, did he? No, but if you want the best, he wants for it. Like the doctor, you hear the doctor, put me back on that scale again, okay? And you weigh me, he's like, hey, Stucky, you got to lose 80 pounds. Oh, wow. But if you lose 10 pounds, you'll breathe better. Well, I can do 10 pounds. Amen. If you told me I'd lose 50 pounds at one first time, I'd give up. But smaller bites. See, that's how God works in your life. I'm going to remove this now. Well, Pastor, what can I do that I can't do? Read the Word of God. I'm not here to tell you what you can't do. I'm just sharing what the Word of God says and showing to you what the consequences are. And heaven is an awesome consequence for following Him. Amen? Amen. Anybody got questions today? Yeah, He just wants the best for us. And sometimes we can get the cart before the horse, and it's kind of harder to gallop down the road that way. And we've all been down there before, but just think who you are, guys. Who lives within you? You know, the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, think of that. You out here and you walk down the street, y'all be like this. Hey, watch out, man. I don't want to do that, but just know that who you are. And that God is always with us. Amen? Amen. What's that? Confidence, yeah. Yeah, confidence. That's a good word, to be confident. No matter what you walk into, confident that God is with you. And no matter what happens tomorrow, God's already there. You know, we have days and nights. God really doesn't, because He never sleeps. So He's already there waiting for us, you know. And sometimes we'll be so scared about tomorrow. But no matter what tomorrow brings, it's only going to show you what God already knew. And we trust in Him. And He'll work with us on that, you know. He really will. Amen. Amen. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and give you peace. And may you walk out of here today in the victory that Jesus has handed to us from the cross. May the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelm you. May His joy, may His healing take place in your body today. May your mind be restored. Oh, and through all this, may God be glorified. And we do praise His name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.